Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Uh-oh. Night at the Roxbury. All I can remember is this song and how stupid that movie was.
I don't think I've ever seen the movie. I've seen the skits, but I don't think I've ever seen the movie. Yeah.
Classic.
But if you watch Saturday Night Live, then you know where that movie comes from.
Yeah. I want to remind you guys, you can listen to us on the radio.com app. Download the app. Make the ticket your favorite station. You sign up for notifications. You'll never miss a great guest or moment. We're going to talk to former UFC champ Sugar Rashad Evans in just a matter of time here. Don't forget to check out the radio.com rewind feature. Go back, listen to any show at any time you want. And, of course, subscribe to the Tobin and Leroy podcast. Robbie, let's get to some headlines here, man. What do you got?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Happy true Valentine's Day, everyone.
Says the single guy.
A holiday's a holiday. I mean, you gotta address it. Let the people know. That's why
gotta let them know, Robbie. Good for you, man.
That's why I came in with that song. What is love? Just saying. You do the math. It's true Valentine's Day officially. But yeah, these headlines are brought to you by the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. We got some action tonight, gentlemen.
Action is action.
No robots.
No robots. No simulation, Leroy. Just good old-fashioned fighting. Looking forward to it. Live sports.
Shakur Stevenson taking on Felix Caraballo. Shakur Stevenson, a whopping minus 10,000 favorite.
Man, that's crazy. I love you. I hope you do put that action on the first round. Are you comfortable putting it on the first round, or are you going to maybe hedge it a little bit?
Well,
second round?
I'm thinking of doing it first or second round. It's like half the payout. Like, if you just go first round, it's plus 1,000. If you go first or second round, it's plus 500. That a little bit of wiggle room in case he's just going through the motions in the first round, which tends to happen.
I love the fact that, like, I love a bet that will pay in 3 minutes, Leroy. That's so much fun. It's just so juicy. What if he feels it out, or what if he wants to go for the kill? You don't know.
I think he'll try to make it last.
I don't know. Maybe he will. Maybe he wants
like,
to get the...
They don't have main events. They don't have main events like with Tyson. Like, you knew once Tyson came out, you had to be at your seat, on your seat in the first round, in your seat.
Popcorn.
Yep.
Trust me, if you and I would have gone to a Tyson fight, I would have eaten my churro way before then.
I've gone to three.
Three Tyson fights?
Yeah. He's a fight in Jersey.
Who did you see him fight? Did you see him fight? Were they maulings?
Yeah. One of them I went to made to like the third round. Yeah. And like everybody, soon as they heard, you know, like, soon as the songs came out, everybody got out of line and went and sat in their seats.
Crazy. Oh, so yeah, I'm looking at one. There was in Jersey, I see a couple where they were all just TKOs first round.
Right, right.
Did you see Sphinx? Were you at the Sphinx where he won the championship there?
That's the one where he got knocked out of the ring, right? Or he got knocked out by a body blow.
Beat him in 90 seconds.
Yes. He got punched him in the stomach.
Crazy.
I don't understand what all that money the Sphinx made. Why they ain't never have no teeth?
It's like an alligator with all them damn teeth, but no toothbrush.
Alligators are ornery, mama.
But, like, that was the craziest thing to me. They wasn't broke.
I don't know, man. Maybe he just felt it pointless. You know, like hockey players.
But they have teeth. They put their teeth in after the game.
I don't think so. I think some go. I think like Ovechkin just goes one tooth out.
He's got a tooth. Just don't.
You think that Ovechkin has a go out tooth?
Oh yeah, he ain't. Come on, man. You ain't picking up ladies looking snaggle tooth.
What about remember when Goran had the tooth out?
Yeah, but they fixed that in a day, and then
Bumpy
he got
kept it out. Remember who kept it out? Bumpy. Tyler Johnson kept it out for a year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, they probably because they decided he wasn't going to do nothing until after the season.
He may still even not have it, and I'm not sure if he ever got it fixed.
Really? I mean,
I'm not sure. It was kind of like his thing. He was the guy with no teeth. What else you got, Robbie?
So our old friend, Michael Irvin II, former Miami Hurricane, he is now transferring. He's going to play his final season at FAU this year.
Cool. Good for him. Hoot hoot. And
yeah, he wasn't
playing.
Was he really playing?
He was injured.
Like, I don't, like, of all the things that I went through in college, that thought never crossed my mind.
Transferring?
Yeah.
He is in a tough, like, it is a pretty stacked position for them.
Right.
Like, they got
if I transferred, I would have went back home.
You
and maybe the rules were a little different. Oh yeah, I'd have went back home.
Go play for Mac Brown at Tulane.
Yeah, I think at that point he might have already been gone. He was only for a long time. Tulane was like the stepping stone to a major university.
Well, did you know at one point Tulane used to be in the SEC back in the day, but then they de-emphasized athletics. They said it wasn't as important, so they're not in the SEC anymore.
Yeah, because let me tell you, it ain't cheap to go to Tulane.
Really?
One of the most expensive schools in the country.
Really? I didn't think that.
Yeah.
It is. Is it like a beautiful campus? Is it nice?
I mean, dude, you're talking about a campus where you can damn near walk to the French Quarter. So just imagine what them kids doing down there.
Partying.
Yep. Nothing ever closes. You can buy liquor at the gas station.
Yeah, everyone's got one of those in college.
No. Like, when you go to, like, say, New Orleans Publix, I think it's called Schwagman's, right? Aisle 3, liquor. And I'm not talking about, like,
there's up north. Liquor?
Yeah. Like, up north, they have the watered-down liquor. Like, you can get vodka, but it's only, like, you know.
So you could go to your grocery store in New Orleans, and there's like a liquor aisle.
Yep,
that's pretty.
Get
cool.
Your Jack, your Crown, whatever you need.
Better than Cisco.
Yeah, better than Cisco.
Man.
Although one time I remember as a kid, I think I had been like 14 or 15.
Ugh.
My mom sent me to the store. She said, "Give me a 6-pack of beer." So she gave me like $6, right? So I went in it was a drugstore. It's called KB Drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there. She didn't tell me what kind of beer. So I got her a 6-pack, and it said beer on the can. It was a yellow can beer.
You got generic? Right?
And then I bought me some candy with the change.
Was she mad?
Yes! Especially when I ate the candy on the way home. I couldn't show evidence. She was like, "There ain't no way in hell this costs $6." I said, "You're a dude."
It's like it's a big spike. I don't know what to tell you, Ma.
Hey, nope. Yep. That was one of those moments where as a kid I tried to outsmart my maker. Didn't work.
Nice try though. Yeah. What else you got, Robbie?
So I was wondering, like, what's the Michael Irvin II, another Kane's legacy kid that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. That's kind of strange. Like, I was, we were, like, best Canes. Like, I mean, for sure, Al Blades kid. Like, you can't dub his resume.
All the Blades. He's, if your last name is Blade, you balled at Miami, right?
I like him too. I like him on social media and whatnot. He did give the double birds during that Gators game, but I can't really fault him. It was the Gators.
Really? I mean, that
the highest of swag penalties.
Wait. Yes, like you can't. The only other way you could go is get caught cussing on mic.
Oh my
right?
God, so good. And he was the best part about the video is him just skipping along with such jubilation. Like it was
he threw it out there all willy-nilly, like no big deal. The play's going on way on the other side of the field. Oh,
so good.
And Robbie blew a lid on Monday.
Man. What?
Got these swag penalties.
Oh, yeah. The double
birds. Rashad saying
920. Yeah, 920.
No problem. Sounds good. We'll get him on in a few minutes then. Yeah, that was the top swag penalty. It was so good. Oh, it was so good. I love it.
Very costly.
Very costly. But yeah, most get like Ray Lewis's kid. Not great.
Fiegels.
Oh my God, Fiegels get the punter. Oh, he was terrible.
Woo!
Punter. Bad. Had to go to Australia to replace him.
I mean, can we not? Who is the greatest father in any sport? The Mannings?
The Griffies?
He had two kids.
The Griffies? Yeah, I was going to say the Griffies.
The Griffies? The Bonds?
The Bonds. Vlad's
Ripkins?
Kid. Vlad's kid hasn't
Ripkins,
played too
much. They were all kids, right? Your dad was a coach.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Vlad's kid part of the steroid baby boom. You know.
You had the Boons.
So baseball, it seems fairly common. How about Patrick Mahomes and his dad, the reliever?
But his dad played baseball. Same thing with, is it Devin Booker? Or does his mom work? No, his mom works in
I know.
You're talking about Mikal Bridges, who was his mom works at the office of the Sixers, and he was drafted by the Sixers, and everyone was celebrated. And then 2 minutes later, he was traded to the Suns.
Joakim Noah's dad played tennis.
Yeah, we know him. So maybe it's athlete. Here's what I think. The way that all those guys you mentioned came into the University of Miami, right? And the attitude they came in here with was totally different than when their kids came.
I agree.
And so Ray Lewis didn't come in here with expectations. He made his expectations.
That's true. It's almost impossible to live up to those legacies.
But it's not that. It's that, okay, it's easy to go into a situation where you think something should be given to you because of your father or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of people do it. It's a common thing. Very rarely, and when you think about it, you think of how Peyton works and how Eli worked. That's not a normal thing. Ken Griffey, guess what? Ken Griffey was just so talented but he did not work out. That was part of the thing. So he's always out of shape.
Oh, yeah. Well, he got hurt a lot, too, especially once he got a little past his prime. We're just going to ignore I was going to read the same thing.
No, I'm telling you, dude.
We're just going to ignore the fact that 14-year-old Leroy is buying liquor, no questions asked.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, this is not a lie. This is not an exaggeration. When I would go golfing with my uncle, right, I would have to go to church at 6 o'clock with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. I would come home at like 6:45, and then my grandfather would give me $10, send me to the corner store to get him a fifth of old granddad. Like, if you had money, you could buy it. When I was in high school, like what, 15, 16, right? We would go to the front, and the drinking age was only 18, but I had facial hair. So we would go and say, y'all have an ID? No, we don't have an ID. Right next door, sold fake IDs. So I was from Colorado, my whole high school. Right.
So wait, is it one of those where they take a picture of you or they just sell you another guy?
No, they take a picture.
Really?
Put it together. Yes.
The OG McLovin.
Dude, I'm telling you.
McLeroy.
I'm telling you. Like, it was not, there's no, we, you understand, we have drive-through liquor stores, drive-through daiquiri shops, where they give you alcohol in a cup with a straw.
God, sounds delightful. What else you got, Robbie?
Well, speaking of Vikings running backs, see, Dalvin Cook, he's going to be holding out until he gets a reasonable extension.
I like the fact that he said reasonable reasonable extension. I don't know what that means, but you know, it seems like it'll get done faster.
I mean, he got a free year in there. Does that count?
Where he was just hurt?
Yeah.
Nah. Not to him. Go ask him if that counts.
All right. You think they're happy with their Kirk Cousins acquisition?
I think they're okay with it. They won a playoff game last year, didn't they?
Why do you say it's just okay? Like, okay, there's only a handful of quarterbacks that you just don't say, he's fine.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I think it's cost, you know, the ratio of cost of Kirk Cousins versus Kirk Cousins' skill. That's where he gets kind of these things. If he probably is a good quarterback, but he's just making an outrageous amount of money that you go, eh, when you see here Kirk Cousins.
The Cousins ratio. It's like the Pythagorean theorem.
Science.
But they've been doing that his whole career. That guy's made more money because he keep getting franchised.
Yep.
Right? He made a boatload of money in Washington. They could have just signed him for an extension.
Definitely could have, and they don't even know if they like the quarterback they have now. They like Dwayne Haskins. They almost feel like they're going to do to Dwayne Haskins what they did to Rosen.
Somebody said Leroy's story is not that crazy. I remember my aunt used to send me to the store at age 10 with a note to buy her cigarettes at the court. A note?
I'm good for it.
A note? What is it, a credit note? Man, back in the day, you could write a check for anything. They didn't care. Check? Sure. Now they scan them.
I saw that at Publix the other day. I was like looking back and I saw fines for bad checks. I was like, people still writing checks for groceries, huh? That's like at Publix. I haven't seen anybody bust out the checkbook in a long time.
I left my wallet at home and I know the people at Publix and I've did that because all I had in my car is a checkbook.
Did you?
Yeah. Strange. I mean, it's hard to. I wrote a $7 check. I left my wallet at home. I wasn't going all the way back home.
And so, what do? They just put it through the thing.
Yeah. Damage is done, my friend.
And I always keep my driver's license in my car because I always leave my wallet at home.
Right. What else you got, Robbie?
So, 76ers owner Josh Harris, he is interested in buying the New York Mets.
Well, guys are naturally attracted to losers.
Ben Simmons playing right field.
Let me see. I have a loser franchise in basketball. Why don't I just sign the biggest loser franchise in baseball? Why not?
I look at that differently. When he's talking about buying another team, I'm like, woo, he got it like that?
He probably does have it like that.
But I'm like, hey, man, if you're worth that much money, can you really be that bad? No. You did something right.
He's probably like, I'm going to get in while the getting's good on baseball. Super low.
Stop.
How much can you buy a baseball team for if there's no season?
If the Marlins sold for $1 billion?
Yeah, but now you're going through some hard times.
The Marlins are the rare franchise. I don't think they're valued as high as they were purchased for. Most baseball teams, you basically buy them and – pro sports teams, you buy them, they're going to get more valuable because there's just not that many of them. It's like real estate. The Marlins actually got less valuable.
No, he bought the Marlins for $125 million, dude.
Oh, I'm talking about now, though. I'm talking about what the Shermanator and Jeter bought them for.
Oh, yeah. They're probably worth $700 million.
I don't know.
They're going to have a lot less payroll than they did when they at the time of purchase.
True. But that's one of those where it's like, yeah, that's why I don't, you know, that's why you don't buy the fact where it's like, oh, yeah, the Marlins would prefer not to have a season. It's like, would they? You don't think they want to kind of get this thing back to where it was the whole plan all along was to get it revitalized?
They definitely need to keep that clock moving.
Oh, yeah.
Plan.
It's like, hey, the Miami market, we already have a tough time as it is. Why don't you also out of the fact we're not going to play baseball this year, plus we're going to add another pro sports franchise. You know, plus the Panthers are in the playoffs, plus the Heat are coming back, plus Tua is going to be here. Like, you know, plus Haili. Like, where are the Marlins going to be as far as like sports rankings here with a season removed?
Do you think the owners think of that though?
don't know.
Because I have to think that the owners that are making these decisions don't care what the little markets think.
I don't know. I think there are little markets that are probably in the spot where they don't want to play because they don't get the revenue sharing anymore. But I don't think the Marlins are one of those teams. I really don't. I think the Marlins are excited. Like, what, they got the draft this week? They're excited about it.
It's tomorrow night.
Yeah. So they're like, woo-wee.
Third
Gary
pick.
Gary Denbo's going to go up there swaggering. He's ready to roll, baby.
That'll be on
It's actually going to be on ESPN. It's normally just on MLB Network, but I think, you know, because, you know, times.
Programming. Yeah. Programming.
It's going to be on ESPN tomorrow night.
How's the NBA draft going to work?
It's going to be in October.
It's in October.
Yeah, but none of the kids are playing.
The draft, I don't know. I think they're scouting via Zoom or something like that. I don't know.
No, but how are you going to scout? They didn't play, like, some of these one-and-done guys didn't even hardly play.
Well, they played it. They didn't have March Madness. You know, you can't evaluate someone's clutch team because he didn't see March Madness.
So now we need an onion meter.
Onion meter.
Yeah, how could you know?
Any other headlines, Robbie? What? Go ahead.
Can you have onions and miss a shot?
You can, but like they're not big onions.
Lonnie Walker didn't. He missed a couple free throws in that, you know, tournament game that they lost.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, you know, basketball, the best of the best shoot 40%.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what to tell you. It's a
so
hard
that means
thing.
You're failing 60% of the time. And you're going to take that and put it and say that's onions or not?
Yeah. You can just tell, man. I'm telling. It's you know it when you see it.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're an onion scout. Do tell. I'm interested to see how these playoffs play out. You tell me who has done. You let me know on a nightly basis.
I will let you know.
On a daily basis, you give your onion award.
Do you want like an onions? I'll give you an onions power ranking if you want. Whatever you want.
Okay. Onions power ranking.
Whatever you want, baby. I got it for you.
I would just guess because I know how you do stuff.
OPR.
It's all going to be centered around a made shot.
Perhaps. I don't know. I can't say. I can't say. I don't know. I can't say. It's tough to know right now. All right, we'll get into a little bit of UFC. Sugar Rashad Evans, he's scheduled to join us next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. You can text the show 786-360-0790. Text on the ticket driven by Kendall Toyota and Wes Kendall Toyota. Expect to talk to Sugar Rashad Evans in just a few minutes here. Texter writes in, onion factors are very fluid, Leroy. Also very subjective. Another texter writes in, onions is onions. Taking the shot, not being afraid to fail is what gives you onions.
To which I replied, I know that, but I'm trying to get Tobin to not say onions are about made shots.
Nah, I'm with you. Look.
No, you're not. We'll see. No.
Can we say that Philly Cheese had onions? Philly Cheese had onions.
Yeah.
Eddie House had onions. He would do the big onions dance where he'd like throw the big cantaloupes. He got fined for it one time. So Baby Goat certainly has onions. Baby Goat has some young onions. Here. Scotty Drippin. He goes out there. He takes the big shots. Dunks. We don't, you know, Dunks is an interesting one. I want to see if Dunks has the onions. Now, he had onions for Michigan. Neutral site. We've seen his NOF, his neutral site onions factor. So I think that I just want to see what type of onions show up in the playoffs, Leroy. It's a lot different.
What are you doing?
What? Does Bam have the onions? I think he has the onions. Do you think he has the onions?
No.
Bam doesn't have the onions. You don't think so? What about Jimmy?
Because he has situations where he has a mismatch, and he will pass it. He won't take the shot.
So no onions on Bam.
He's not comfortable taking any shot yet.
What about
when he gets to that point? Then yeah.
What about Jimmy Buckets? Jimmy Buckets got the onions.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would say Jimmy gonna make something happen.
What about Kendrick Onion? Kendrick Nunn. Has he got the onions?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Big ol' onions.
Yeah.
Goran Dragic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Goran has sneaky onions. But I'm saying there's a lot of guys who aren't afraid of the moment, but they just don't succeed in that moment. Mm. That doesn't mean you don't have onions.
Yeah, but I would say that probably turns it into garlic. Like if you just have
onions, onions are not about success. Onions are about the moment and not making the moment too big for you.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Former UFC champ Sugar Rashad Evans joins us there. Rashad, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you.
We were actually talking last segment. We were talking a little bit. Leroy's was reminiscing about the old Tyson fights, how much of a great atmosphere that was. I saw you were hanging out with Tyson recently. You're now his tag team partner. Going out there, you're going to take on a bunch of wrestlers with him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, if it goes down like that, yeah, you know, I'm with Tyson's crew, his entourage, you know. Tyson's been getting active lately, and, you know, part of him getting active and part of him wanting to fight is just him being out there, you know. So we're gonna go out in L.A. in a few weeks and get some training in with him, but yeah, he wants to mix it up in all arenas.
Isn't Tyson his own entourage, though? He don't seem like you just walk up on Tyson.
Nah, yeah, that's true. You don't walk up on Tyson. But here's the thing, Tyson is very deceptive because he's very humble and he's easy and he's very approachable. But at the same time, he has a fuse, you know what I'm saying? And he doesn't like to be handled too much. So then when he gets to the point where people are grabbing at him, then he gets ready to bite somebody.
Was he a guy you looked up to just as a young fight fan, Rashad? Like, is it weird being around Tyson at this point? Like, is it surreal or is it like, have you gotten time around him so now it's kind of normal, or is it always a little surreal being around Tyson?
I mean, when I think about it, like when I sit back and think, like, man, this is the guy who, you know, I grew up watching on TV, and you know, who my family would get around and watch his fights and all that kind of stuff. It is surreal, you know. But like when I, you know, when we have our quiet moments and we sit and we talk about, you know, just about life and things like that on a deeper level, then it's like, oh, he's my friend, you know. But it's still nevertheless, like every once in a while, I'm just like, dang, that's Mike Tyson, you know.
So Rashad, when I was in Cleveland, he had a place there, and we would go to the same bar and we'd sit together for a couple of times every now and then. So he knew all the, you know, guys that would hang out there. And the one thing that took us all off guard, caught us all off guard, was how soft spoken he was. And we like, man, this guy is a violent dude. And he'd be like, hey, how you doing? Sit down. What y'all getting into? And you're like, whoa. I mean, it catches you off guard how soft-spoken and humble this dude is.
It really does, man. And then when he opens his mouth and he lets you know some of his life philosophy, then you feel like, wow, this dude has it figured out in areas where I haven't even thought about yet, you know. And that's when the complexity of what Mike Tyson is really start, you know, taking hold, because you see somebody who's a complete enigma. On one hand, he has this ability to be so destructive, but then on the other side, he has this eloquent, you know, intellectual side that's able to dissect many, you know, deep intellectual matters.
Before we get to UFC, one more thing on him. Like, do you, like, talking to him, does the comeback thing seem legit? Like, why does he want to come back, and what do you think that looks like for him if he does?
I think he does want to come back. I think for the most part, what it looks like is, you know, maybe having a few exhibitions or something like that. But I don't know how serious of a level is going to be. I just know that he's just excited to be training again. And for Mike Tyson, you know, if you follow him or you know him, you know that competing and trying to train is something that he struggled with, because he's worked so hard to get where he's at. On an egoic level, where he feels as if, like, when he starts to do things like fighting and he gets the attention and he gets the accolades, he doesn't want to do things to feed that ego, because he knows how intoxicating that is, and he knows the path that it took him down last time. So he was kind of weary about that, but being the fact that he's done so much therapy, you know, cathartic therapy, you know, with his, you know, with the toad and with other, you know, psilocybin psychedelics, it's been able to have him leapfrog as far as, you know, just being able to mentally put himself with understanding that he'd be able to go back to competing without igniting all those egoic feelings, you know?
This weekend, better knockout, Sean O'Malley or Cody Garbrandt? Which one did you like better?
Gosh.
Which one was better?
Oh, my gosh.
They're both so sick.
They were both so sick, man, but I got to give it to Cody Garbrandt, man. You know why? Because that punch was for me, man. You know, I ended up my career losing, you know, and I wanted to have that moment where he did. You know, he was on a 3-fight losing streak, and at that point, you know, you become your own worst enemy because competing is psychological for the most part, and when you lose a psychological edge, that's the hardest thing to get back. So to see him come back after being knocked out 3 times in a row and to get a knockout in devastating fashion that he did, it made me almost well up inside, man.
What do you think is left for Amanda Nunes to do, man? I marvel at how damn good she is, and every time she goes out there, she just seems at like another clear level than the rest of the women she's taken on. At this point in her career, like, would you think she just steps away and wait for something to come along? Do you just rest? Like, when you're at this level of dominance, what do you think keeps that drive going for someone like that? Because it feels like all the challenges they throw at her, she's just taking care of it so easily.
Yeah, I think at this point with her, you know, since now that she's really competing in the league of her own in so many levels, I think she just has to compete against herself and just try to make it so that she makes a record so ridiculous and outstanding that no one would ever, you know, surpass what Amanda Nunes has done. You know, thus far, she's already has taken a step with the champs and become the first to defend her belt at a championship weight class where she won the belt. So she's already kind of even separated herself from the greats. So now it's just, you know, she just keeps on growing. But I would love to see another fight and maybe a part 3 with her and Shevchenko again, because I think Shevchenko is grown tremendously as well. And I think that if they fight at maybe 135 or catch weight, that could be something to see.
Now, you've been one of the faces of the UFC before, Rashad. You've been to the absolute top of the sport. What are you making of the trend that's gone on the last couple of weeks? John Jones threatened to step away. Masvidal basically walking away from the championship fight with Usman and asking for his release. And Conor having his, you know, quote unquote retirement, although it seems more like posturing. What do you make of this? Do you think this is almost like an uprising of the stars that want to change something with UFC, or do you think these are all kind of case by case, different, disgruntled, and that's a natural thing with fighting? What do you make of all that?
No, I think these guys are waking up, you know, and you have to understand like the different eras of fighting, you know. And when I was fighting in my era, we fought to prove that we were a sport. You know, I remember winning the Ultimate Fighter show, and you know, my mother-in-law, she says, "Okay, now you won. Are you going to get a real job?" And I didn't get upset because that was the thinking back then. You know, at the end of the day, you couldn't make a living off of being a fighter. So I understood the sentiment. But nowadays, these guys, you know, and when we fought just to fight on, you know, these, you know, to fight on the big stage and these platforms that these guys are fighting on, now that these guys are fighting on these platforms, they know what these platforms mean. And they know what, you know, athletes who compete on these platforms, they get. And, you know, these guys also understand, you know, the power and currency of their following. And social media has educated, you know, fighters so much on their own worth. And now there's algorithms that you can break down and you can figure out your own worth, you know, based on, you know, your following or whatnot. So you can kind of come with some kind of calculation on what your value is to a specific card. So fighters are coming in there with more knowledge because, you know, people who are surrounding themselves around these fighters know there's money in the sport that's yet to be given out.
What do you, like, from your standpoint, do you think it's, I heard Daniel Cormier say yesterday where he said, "I think it's better to try and keep these things private because these usually you have more progress if you just go directly and you don't air out the grievances." Do you think there is a benefit in making all this stuff private to get people behind you and let people know that you are upset, or is it better to just keep it behind closed doors?
Well, if you keep it behind closed doors, then, you know, then you may not have as much leverage in the situation when it comes down to having more support of others joining in on the fight. You know, if all these people would have maybe aired out their grievances in private, then when each of them confronted their grievance, they may have thought they had been the only one going through it. But now that there's more of them sounding off on the same sound, they all can understand that resonation and they all are kind of sounding off on the same pitch. So I think that, you know, there is more strength in numbers, but here's the reality of the situation. It may just be bad time for it all. And by that, I mean, there's never a good time to form, there's never a good time for something like this. Meaning the fact that, you know, there's always going to be, oh, we can, you know, wait for this happen. And you can always put it off. But what I mean by this might not be the timing is, you know, economically speaking, you know, we're being thrusted into a world where we don't really know what's going to be. We don't really know what's on the other side of everything that we're facing. And right now we're living day by day. And, you know, we don't know what you know, the travel restrictions are going to be and if they're going to let up what is going to happen on an economic level. So the UFC has to be able to economically maneuver if there is such things that they have to make an adjustment for. So I can understand them holding back on wanting to give maybe some of the money that they were unexpectedly having to spend, you know, because you got to also think about this, you know, now that they're having to compete under these new guidelines, there's a whole new structure that has to come into place. You know, there's a whole new financial burden that comes into place too, as far as with PPE equipment, as far as testing equipment, as far as making sure everybody's meeting the protocol, and all these different things that they now have to jump through, hoops they have to jump through, is coming with a financial price tag on it. So all these things are hitting their bottom line, which is hitting the fighters' bottom line. And I hear in a lot of different sports that, you know, they may have to revisit the whole pay scale to kind of restructure things so then that way the sports can continue.
Rashad, I'm new to MMA. So Tobin started taking me to the little local cards probably 2 years ago, and I'm in it. And one of the things that I hate about it is I look forward to these fights, you know, the top guys fighting, and they're not fighting. And I'm tired of watching these guys, you know, fight the bottom tier of, you know, the rankings. I want to see these guys fight each other. What is it going to take for these guys to just go ahead on and fight? Because I don't want it to be all about money. I want to see the competition. I want to see them fight.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing about it. Like, there's a few different things that can be holding up the fact of having these big blockbuster fights. Because we've seen some big fights. Like, we've seen, you know, a title fight with Amanda Nunes and stuff like that. But I know what you're talking about when you're talking about these big blockbuster fights. You're talking about the Khabibs, the Masvidals, the John Jones and Ngannous and those kind of big blockbusters. I think a big part of them holding off on really pushing those big blockbusters going forward is the fact that, you know, live gate, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, it goes back to this whole situation we're pushed in on a world level. You know, do we forego the possibility of things opening up and putting a blockbuster on and having a live gate? Or do we just say, you know what, let's have one of these big fights on and just see what we can do with just how things are? And then at the same time, you also have to understand some of the biggest fighters in the game with the biggest names like a McGregor and Khabib, they can't come over to the United States because of the international flight restrictions. So this whole thing is kind of filming a huge, you know, convolution in the whole UFC plans. And, you know, to their credit, they're doing their best to try to be the first one back and try to be the first one to get the fighters competing regularly. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of pains that they still need to go through. And it's difficult because, you know, it's not – There's this has never been done before, and there's no blueprint to do this.
See, I feel better hearing that from you, okay? Because I understand it, and Tobin has told me, you know, about the gate, and they're waiting, you know, they want to get the whole pomp and circumstance of these big fights, the lead up, the gate, all these things that make a fight exciting. They want to wait before they put these fights, you know, until these moments. Then why won't Dana just say that? Why does he come out as abrasive as the fighters are?
Yeah, I don't know. And maybe it may just be his own denial in the process. Maybe he's not willing to just say that, you know, things may not go back to normal for another year or so, or make it so that, you know, because it's scary to think about, for the most part, from our point of view, when we hear things like, we may not be able to return back to normal and do the things that we used to do for a year from now. You know, that brings an unsteady feeling in your stomach. You know what I'm saying? So I do understand them not saying it, but it doesn't take away from the reality of what we're facing here. You know what I'm saying? Here we are, you know, in the beginning of the summer, and it doesn't look as if like things are going to even open up until, you know, fall. You know what I'm saying? So there's still a lot that has to be done with this whole thing on a world level, and trying to run a live sport event during this whole thing is tremendously difficult.
Before we get you out of here, Rashad, the fight we were looking forward to the most, obviously the old South Florida crosstown rivalry, you know, Kamaru versus Jorge, that's hit a negotiating snag. Now it looks like Gilbert Burns might slide in there. He's teammates with Kamaru. How weird is that? That the idea that he may have to fight for a title outside of the same gym. Like, how does that work? I guess gym politics wise, is that going to be a difficult thing for them to navigate?
I'll be lying if I say it wasn't, because it always is, and it always is, just based on the fact that whenever you're a fighter and you have to choose your camp, you pick people from your team. And you have to choose what you choose your teammates, and you, at that point, you decide and you see who's riding with you and who's not riding with you. And whoever's not riding with you, you remember that. And it's just something that stays with you. So then even after this whole fight thing is done and over with, that's something you never forget. You never forget who chose what side. And here's another weird thing about this whole thing is the fact that, before this all kind of happened, Kamaru was training at different gyms, and now he's kind of he's going to train in Denver. You know, he's doing this training in Denver, so that may have been a disconnect too, as far as some of his teammates not feeling that, that team camaraderie around him. You know what I'm saying? So you think it's a
sign he may jump to another place to train train somewhere else if it does come down to that?
Well, I know for a fact he's training in Denver, but what I'm saying is his training in Denver may have been misconstrued as like he's not being part of the team and he's leaving the team, which could have caused a little bit of dissension amongst the ranks and been like, oh yeah, well, I got my role now. Now I want that title. You know what I'm saying? So there could be a little bit of that going on, but also at the same time, you know, getting the title shot and earning it the way Gilbert did, coming from 155 and fighting all the way up through 170, and now, getting his title shot, you can understand him wanting to take it. But my thing is this right here. You know, him and they've trained together for so long. Even in this past camp, Tyron Woodley camp, Kamaru sparred with Gilbert a couple rounds, so it's one of those things. It's no doubt a fight that is a hard fight on an emotional level, and it's going to be a hard fight for Kamaru on an emotional level, because we all came up together. You know what I'm saying? We trained at three gyms together over the past 10 years, and we all help each other grow. So it's a blessing. And at the same time, it's one of those, it's a sad thing too, as well too, but you know, it shows that the team has done the work to earn themselves to the proper position.
Rashad, we always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
Sugar Rashad Evans, always great on the program. We'll be back with more after this. Thanks again to Sugar Rashad Evans for joining this program. He's always fantastic. Deep. That was deep, dude. How about that? They all come up together, and now they got to fight. It's like some gladiator stuff.
But your goal, in the end, is to fight for the championship.
100%.
Is to get yours. At some point, you would think they all are going to go through that. I mean, I've never heard anybody say, hey, you want to fight for the title? No, because that's my guy.
There's a famous time that it was that it happened, and actually the reason Daniel Cormier started out in light heavyweight was because his training partner and best friend Cain Velasquez was the heavyweight champion of the world. So right. big old DC sucked his ass down to 205 to go fight John Jones. To go venture for the light heavyweight champion. That's a good friend right there.
If you think about it, that was the sacrifice right there.
Yeah, just losing the weight.
Right.
Losing the weight, sucking down all the way to 205. That's terrible. Who knows? Like, if DC would have just because Kane ended up getting a lot of injury troubles, and so who knows if DC would have just been able to be heavyweight champ this entire time. But we would have never gotten the John Jones rivalry.
I mean, even if it was a rivalry, if one guy never wins,
well, personal rivalry, personal rift.
All right,
is that a better description of it?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't one of his wins no overturned or no contest? Or
technically, yes. Technically, John has only one win over DC because he head kicked him with steroids.
We know. They could fight till the end of time. DC ain't beating John Jones.
I still want to know. I saw that with a story about Shaq joining the Saints team meeting for the Drew Brees tearful apology. What, like, it's like, all right, I wonder if he was there from the start or if it was Drew Brees was crying. He was apologizing to everybody. And they're like, and Sean Payton goes, hey, everybody, it's Big Diesel.
How's it going, everybody? Listen, don't let this tear you apart.
What are you watching?
Somebody sent me something, and I was trying to copy it and send it to you, but I actually didn't hit power.
Well, I know these guys aren't teammates, but, I mean, these two never fought for obvious reasons. The Klitschko brothers.
Oh, man. I want to see the Klitschko brothers fight.
Nah, that wouldn't be exciting.
Well, they promised their mom that they would, you know, fight each other.
Mom. Hey, Mom, how about I buy you a beautiful Ukrainian palace?
Who's the MMA brothers? The one that just fought?
I mean, you got the Burns brothers.
The Burns brothers.
Diaz.
And then the Diaz brothers.
Yep.
Right.
You got the Shevchenko sisters.
The Shevchenko sisters. Yep. I think that's about it. I think those are the only families that I'm thinking of.
Man, could you imagine that? Those childhoods?
Just beating each other up.
Just fighting all the time?
Yep.
Could you imagine this like in John Jones' house?
Oh my God! With all with Chandler and Arthur and him, crazy.
I mean, who's this? Was it one of the brothers told the story of the dad on Levitard's show? Because they had a ring because their mom was a black belt. Also,
I think that's James Johnson.
James Johnson, yeah, James Johnson. Same with
he bowed to him and he goes, "What are you bowing for?"
He uppercutted him.
Yep.
He said, why are you showing respect? You in here because you disrespected me. Imagine James Johnson house where they got a ring at their house.
Crazy.
You got beef? Go to the ring.
Do you think at the Manning's house, do you think like Cooper Manning just gets super annoyed with all the football talk? He's like, all right, guys, we get it.
Well, no, he used to play football. He had a back injury.
But not like, you know.
Well, when they were younger, keep in mind, he was the first. He's the oldest, I think.
Yeah, he was a wide receiver.
He got hurt.
Yeah, he was a senior in Peyton Manning's freshman year of high school, and they're on the same team.
So basically, he was the only Manning that could run.
All the nieces and nephews are saying, tell us about David Tyree, Uncle Eli. He goes again with this story.
Why did it talk like that?
I don't know. That's how I just picture it. All right,
somebody said the Diaz brothers fight would be something. Nobody would quit.
Oh, man, that'd be crazy. Another says, Bam has the onion, showed it in the skills competition. Wasn't too big for him, Leroy. Fair
really,
point.
If it was anybody else, you would say that don't count. It ain't basketball.
He knocked down a three. He knocked down a three right in your face.
Idiot.
Everybody have a great rest of your day. Talk to you tomorrow.
Tell them bring me my money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.